She said that at one time she didn't think y'all were ready for that song. I said, well, they better get ready. You buckle up. That's about the only time that I regret that I pastor a Baptist church is when songs like that come on. Because I think it's time for Baptists to get their shout back a little bit. Man, that song makes me want to dance undignified before the Lord. David did it. It's good enough for David. It's good enough for me. Man. Whew. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me begin by saying congratulations to all of our graduates. You must be very proud of your accomplishments, your achievements, and all the things that you're going to do. I'm very proud of you. I know your family is too. I heard about one alumnus that was talking to another about their school, and he said, you know, this school has turned out a lot of great men. And the other alumnus looked at him and said, well, what year did you graduate from this school? And he said, well, I didn't. I was one of the men that it turned out. And I can relate to that. We're excited for you. Some of you are going off to college. Some of you are going off into the workforce. Either way, it's going to be a brand new world for you. You're going to open up your eyes and realize that life is just beginning and it's much more difficult than you ever dreamed it would be. I'd like to encourage you with some things today, though, as you go out the door. I put a few verses up here in our PowerPoint I want to share with you. And here's some verses I think will be important to you in your life. You know, my brother, before he passed away, one of the things that he brought to me at my graduation, he brought me a poem that he had written called Seize the Day. And he gave it to me at my graduation. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing, to seize the day. To make the most of them. And here's reasons why. One verse I put on here comes from Proverbs 27, verse 1. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day shall bring forth. Man, that's so true. Any number of people have lived that verse out over and over and over again, thinking they had tomorrow, but tomorrow didn't come. You don't know what a day will bring forth. Make the most of this day. Seize the day. In the Psalms, it tells us in chapter 90, verse 12, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Numbering your days means making the most of those days. How many days do we spend just passing them by and letting them go by us? We do nothing with them. We make nothing of them. They're just days that we're checking off of our calendar. The psalmist says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And then here, young people, and this is for all people, I told you that my message today is aimed at the seniors, but it's a scattergun. It's going to get everybody. Don't worry. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. You will do well to put yourself in a place to receive wise counsel in your life. And I want to share with you today what I believe is very definitely wise counsel, because it does not come from me. It comes from God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14 and verse 15, we're going to see a word there. The second word of verse 14 is continue. He says to Timothy, Paul writes to young Timothy, and he says this, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Where did this information come from? And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer one more time. Father, may you bless now the reading of your word. Take this feeble speaker, take my feeble mind and my feeble mouth, Lord, and set them aside. Take the truths of your word that we have learned and that we are assured of, God, and take them and drive them into our hearts. Teach us how to endure hardness. Teach us how to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, help us, all of us, not just our seniors, our graduates, help all of us to know how to continue. Help us to lean on your word today as our staff, our testimony of who you are and what you would have from us. And may all that we do, God, Whether it be in life or in death, may it bring you honor and bring you glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul tells Timothy to continue. You see, your life story is not completed. It is to be continued. It's still out in front of you. Whether you're a senior in high school, a senior in college, or you're a senior citizen, your life is still in front of you. What's left of it is still out in front of you. And you have the ability to help write the script. And Paul is telling young Timothy to lead a life that is pleasing to God. And he tells him to how he's going to do that is to continue in the things that he knows, that he has been taught, that he's been assured of, and all of those things, looking to God's word to be that which helps him to continue. Many people are not continuing. In fact, many have not even started, really, honestly. But I want you to go back and do me a favor. Let's go back to the beginning of this chapter, and let's gather up a little more of the context from which Paul is writing to young Timothy. Look at the beginning of chapter 3. Before he tells Timothy to continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, here's what he says. Verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Dangerous times. A time of great apostasy will mark these last days. Apostasy is a falling away from the truth. And the Bible tells us that we know that the day of the Lord is not going to come except there come a great falling away first. Churches and Christians are falling away from the truth of God's word. And when I say the word church, I use it very loosely, because not everything that has a sign is a church. Not everything that has a website is a church recognized by God. We talked about that last week. We're using that term loosely. Many churches have gone away from God's truth, marking a time of great apostasy. And as a result of great apostasy inside the church, we have perilous times, dangerous times. It's a dangerous time for your children to live in the world in which we live. And here's what he tells him. He says, "Know this, Timothy, in the last days, dangerous times are going to come." Well, what will they look like, Brother Paul? Verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." That marks America pretty hard, doesn't it? "They will be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. They will be people who are disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." Meaning that we will have left that which should be natural to us. Someone asked me one time, they said, "How would you illustrate without natural affection?" I would illustrate it this way: a lady taking her baby and throw it into a dumpster. That's not natural. But we see that today. We see people abandoning their children, aborting their children. That's without natural affection. Ask any mother in this room, when she found out there was a baby inside her body, that her heart was set on that child, and by nature she loves that child. If she loses the child, it breaks her heart. If she births the child, she serves it, and she nurtures it, and she raises it, and she loves it. Without natural affection would be someone who could take a baby and just get rid of it as if it's garbage. And our country is filled with people who are getting rid of babies like they're garbage. We're aborting babies at record numbers. Why? Because there's apostasy, there's a falling away. The church is silent. I've noticed that the church is mad about everything on the planet except for the things they ought to be mad about. Amen. We're mad about everything. But we're not mad about aborting babies. Little side note for you. This is where we're supposed to continue, he says. He said they'll be unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. They'll be truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. We live in that world, don't we? Our political world is full of those who despise that which is good. It doesn't make any sense to somebody who has the Spirit of God inside them. But the political realm is filled with that in our nation. Continue thou in the things that you have learned and you have been assured of. Continue in the things that you know from God's word, because this will mark your day. And it marks our day, certainly. He says there'll be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lord help. In verse 5, he talks about religious folk. That may be some of you in verse 5, so hold tight. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. And, you know, you look at this and it kind of gives you a little bit of a better picture of what Paul was talking about. And then he tells us in verse 12 of the same chapter, he says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but continue thou in the things that you have learned and been assured of. If you say, but Brother Raines, it's getting worse. Yes, we know that. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things that you've learned and the things that you've been assured of. I would love to tell you that it's going to get bright someday, but the truth is it's going to get darker before it gets lighter. And so from my heart to yours, seniors, and saints, continue thou. Endure afflictions. We'll talk about that in a minute. So Paul wants Timothy to lead a life that's good and pleasing to God. How does he do it? I have 2 points today. Can y'all believe that? Somebody say amen. Come on now, come on. I had like 5 last week. I mean, I had 2 today. Number one, here's how you do it. By looking to the godly examples in your life. There are examples, looking to your examples in your life. Now, this isn't just for the seniors. This is for everybody. There's some of you in here today that you're on the verge of defection. You're barely hanging on. You're not serving God. You're not worshiping God. You didn't come here to worship Him. You came here to sit down and let somebody else worship for you or around you or near you. You're barely hanging on. Your Bible's dusty. It hasn't been opened in weeks. Other than when you come and sit here, some of your hearts are dried up from a lack of prayer. There's no tears in your eyes. There's no burden on your heart. And you're barely hanging on. To you, I would say, continue. How do you continue? Look to the examples in your life. The good examples. There are people in your life who have paved a road for you. And I don't care if you're 50 or 60 or 70. There's somebody out in front of you that you know that paved a road for you. Plowed a road for you. You ought to look to those people as people of inspiration to you. We all have examples in our lives, whether they're good and positive or whether they're bad or not, that you can look back in times of distress and encourage yourself. He talks about here with Timothy, he talks about his family for examples. He has his family for examples. If you go back to the beginning of this book and you go back to chapter 1, do it with me. You're not doing anything. Go back with me. Some of you, it's the first time you've been to 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy chapter 1. Go back and look at it. Flip a brand new page. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 5. You know what? Back up to verse 3. He said, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. What brings Paul joy? When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Where did he get it from? Where did Timothy get this unfeigned faith? Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that it is in thee also. He's talking about his family examples. His grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. He mentions that inside Timothy, there is an unfeigned faith because of the faith of his grandmother and his mother. Now, let's just take a time out real quick. Let me just say this. While it's important for us to look to our family examples, it's important for us to be the family example. You notice that young Timothy is about to be a powerful preacher, teacher, and pastor in God's work, brought up under the tutelage of the Apostle Paul. And you notice that Paul did not accredit his father to be his spiritual leader. Rather, it was his grandmother and it was his mother. Now, next week is Mother's Day. And so I want you to know it's important. You think, well, I'm just grandma or I'm just this or I'm just that. No, you might be the family example that sets an unfeigned faith in the heart of the child that you're raising. You may be the only example that they have. And so, grandmas and moms, I want you to know that you are of great value in the life of your children. Moms, you will have a greater effect in the heart of your children than dad will most of the time, because you're going to invest more time while dad's out working and making money. Moms are there in the everyday moments of a child's life making impacts. When it came to Moses, it was Moses' mother who nursed him up and I think rehearsed into his heart all the things that God had done in Israel. And it was his mother that had a profound faith in his life. And now here it is with Timothy, his grandmother and his mother. He said this faith, this unfeigned faith, and I'm going to get to that word in just a second, that is in you, I know where it came from. It came from your family. It came from your mom and your grandma. The word unfeigned faith means the idea of having a true, sincere faith that is without hypocrisy. No hypocrisy in your faith. Meaning that what your children come to church with on Sunday is what they go home with on Sunday night and they wake up to on Monday morning. I can't tell you how many times in my ministry I've had people tell me the mom and the dad that you see at church is not the mom and dad that I have at home. That's not unfeigned faith. That's fake faith. That's a masquerade. That's hypocrisy. And you think your child doesn't see that? You think it doesn't affect their heart and their mind to see you say you're worshiping Jesus on Sunday and then acting like a fool on Monday? You think it doesn't affect their heart? Friend, you better think again. I'm about to give you some numbers about college students that go off to college and get destroyed because their parents did not put unfeigned faith in them. They put a half-hearted, lukewarm, no good faith that said, I was this on Sunday, and I was not that again until next Sunday. And their children saw the hypocrisy and the fakeness of it all, and they said, I really want nothing to do with that. Family examples ought to be the best examples. They see you every day. He's talking about people who model consistency. Now listen to me, mom and dad. Don't pressure yourself into thinking you have to be perfect. Your children are going to see your imperfections. But your repentance from those imperfections, your moving closer to God through those things, your ownership of your imperfections, and your asking God to forgive you and make you a better Christian, a better mom, and a better dad, those are the things that they can come back and say, there is no hypocrisy in my parents. They were failures at times, but they never let their failure become what defined their life. They got on their knees and said, you know what, I'm sorry that I failed here. Your children can appreciate your authenticity. Your children will appreciate your consistency in your life. That they can see who you are every day is the same. And by the way, people appreciate consistency, don't they? Everybody does. Your coworkers and your children and everybody else can see that. Not every person in your family is a great example. We all have that uncle, don't we? Who's got the uncle? If you don't know who it is, it's probably you. Hey, how many Fenaris kids went? No, if they follow Uncle Johnny, they'll be fine. Paul knew what was in Timothy was there because of the godly influence of these ladies. They invested in him, shared scripture with him, instilling a pure faith in him. They weren't just talking a good faith. They were living a good faith. And you say, well, you know, I'm doing the best I can. That's good. That's what you should do. But living a consistent, godly, non-hypocritical life is what gives credibility to the gospel story of your life. So that when you tell others about Christ, they go, okay, that makes sense because I've seen it modeled in your life. You say, well, I don't have any family examples to look to for godly living and faith. Well, Paul also told him to look not only to family examples, but to his father figure for an example. He did have a father figure. Go back, if you would, to chapter 2 and look at verse 1. Notice what Paul calls Timothy. In verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, "Thou therefore, my son." Now, Paul's not Timothy's biological father. Timothy's father was Greek, but he was his father in the faith, his spiritual influence. Part of what Timothy was molded by his grandma and his mother, but a lot of what Timothy was molded by the Apostle Paul. He had somebody in his life that he could look to. He had become a spiritual father to him. Paul knew that Timothy could reflect on his childhood and see the life of Paul shining as an example to him. He would remember Paul and Barnabas marching on without notable fanfare. He would recall the healing of a lame man and the cheers of the crowd. Timothy would remember how people were saved under Paul's preaching and how people flocked to him to hear him speak. Whether they liked him or they didn't, people were influenced by the Apostle Paul. Timothy would remember that. He would remember the attempts to murder Paul, to stone him and leave him for dead outside of Lystra. But he would also remember that Paul continued. Because Paul even tells him, I endured. In verses 10 and 11 of our text in chapter 3, notice what he says there. He tells Timothy, he says, "But thou hast fully known." What? "You've known my doctrine. You've known my manner of life. You've known my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my long suffering. You've known my persecutions and afflictions which came upon me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra." What persecutions I endured. Timothy had a father figure to look to. Now, can I just encourage you to do something in your life, all you seniors, high schoolers, junior hires, whatever you are, find a father figure in your life. Find a man of God that you know has a heart for God. Not somebody who's perfect. Find a man of God and put him in your life. Make him be a part of your life. I've got about 3 or 4 in my life that I make sure that they're a part of my life because they're important to my ministry. And every time I think about not continuing, I look to these men as examples for me. And how that they have been faithful. One of them is sitting in the room today. I'm not going to point at him because he don't want to take credit for me, I'm sure. But I got 3 or 4 men in my life that I look to. They're not perfect men. But they are faithful men. They're consistent men. They're men of unfeigned faith. You need those men in your life. And Paul tells Timothy, he said, I know that you've seen these things in my life. You have fully known. You've known the pattern of my life. You know the purpose of my life. You know the patience in my life. You know the persecutions of my life. Timothy, you know those things. I want you to remember them, but more than that, I want you to remember this. Look at the end of verse 11. "But out of them all, the Lord hath delivered me." Don't forget that, Timothy. Because in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Seducers will wax worse and worse. It's going to be hard, but you know the pattern of my life. You know the persecutions, but you also know that out of them all the Lord hath delivered me. God has been there all along. He's never let me fail. Then he reminds us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Graduates, let me tell you something. If you're going to college and you're taking Jesus with you, you're going to suffer persecution. Now, you can go to college and not suffer any persecution. You're going to suffer either way. Either in your lifestyle or in your exams or in your class, there's suffering at college. But if you're going to take Jesus with you, you're going to suffer persecution because almost nobody there at that university shares your faith in Christ. Answers in Genesis which is where we're taking our children in the summer, taking them to the Ark Encounter and to the Creation Museum. Answers in Genesis put out a study, and the numbers, they vary largely, but here's what they said. 70% to 88% of evangelical students will leave their faith in the first year that they're at university. 88%. Why is that? Well, that's because we have an adversary who's not going to let you go to college and get off scot-free. He has little minions working inside these universities to destroy your faith, and it's their entire goal. He reminds him that as things get worse and worse and days get darker and harder, that you're going to have to endure. As you go into the next stage of your life, remember the godly examples in your life. Live for Christ. Be prepared to stand when things get tough. Don't give into the world, but stand for Christ. So here's some advice that Paul gives Timothy. One is look to your examples. Number two is this. Live with endurance. We don't really know how to endure anymore, do we? When you look into the scriptures, in this text he says, but continue thou. Some have already stopped. Some have never even started. I can't tell you how many times I've had people come and, I hate to use air quotes, but I don't have any other way to do it, and give their life to Christ, and then never get out of the starter's blocks. Maybe never even come back to church. Certainly never get in the game. By the way, this isn't the warfare we're in. This is where we come back to educate, edify, and send out into the actual ministries outside these doors. And many of them never even come back to church, let alone get in a battle. And so we don't know how to endure. We haven't taught ourselves how to endure. We struggle with that idea. We don't endure at our job. We don't like our job, we get a new job. We don't like our marriage, we get a new marriage. I don't like this sport, I don't endure it, I just quit and I go on to the next. But there's something to be said for endurance in your life. Finding ways to get through hard things. Children, young people, learn how to do hard things. Parents, let them do some hard things. Make them do some hard things. I have one child out of four that I won't name this child. But this child has to be forced to do everything. If it's remotely hard, if it's remotely uncomfortable, remotely difficult, you have to force this child to do it. And everything that this child does, y'all, you can all look at her. Everybody, she loves it when people look at her. Everything she does, she excels at. Everything. I think we were to the third grade before she didn't cry on the first day of school. It was the most ridiculous thing you ever seen. But everything we force her to do, she excels at. And we always come back and say, well, you're welcome. You're welcome. But we don't know how to endure. We don't know how to do hard things. We don't want to do hard things. To continue here gives the idea to abide well, to dwell or to remain. So he talks about a continuance in the scriptures. He said the things that you have learned and are assured of, When you get to where you're going, no matter whether that's college or work or wherever you're going, don't forget God's word. Don't forget God. Don't forget his word. Students, when you get your textbook and it tells you that you're a cosmic accident that happened billions of years ago, don't forget that God's word says you are wonderfully and fearfully made. You're not a cosmic accident. Too many young people graduate, go to college, and fail to continue in the things that they have learned and been assured of. Several years ago, I had my youth group to go through a creation versus evolution study. There were videos and discussions and worksheets and all kinds of things. 17 weeks we did that. Then we packed up and we went to the Creation Museum. The Ark wasn't even there yet at that time. And I ain't gonna lie to you, when we got done, I thought, man, I just wasted 17 weeks. Nobody seemed to care. It didn't seem to help anybody. It didn't seem to make an effect. I don't know. Maybe I felt that way, and maybe I was wrong to feel that way. But that very next summer, I had one of my students graduated and went off to the University of Oklahoma, where all good students go to be corrupted. And I'm an OU fan. You can send them to Stillwater, they're going to get corrupted there too. You can send them to UCO, they're going to get corrupted there too. Just send them to any public university, and maybe even a few private universities, they're going to get corrupted unless they know how to continue in the things which they have learned and have been assured of. But this young lady went there. She was going for a pharmaceutical degree, and I remember about a year into her being there, she calls me out of the blue, and she said, "Brother Matt, thank you, thank you, thank you for taking us through that 17-week study." She said, "You would not believe how they tried to cram all of this stuff down your throat." I said, "I 100% do, and that's why we did it." She said, "They're trying to destroy my faith. Continue in the scriptures that will make you wise." He says, not only to continue in the scriptures, but have confidence in the scriptures. Verse 15, he said, "That which thou hast known for the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Continuance in the scriptures and confidence in the scriptures. Now, there's little doubt that Timothy is acquainted with the legends of Greek mythology. His dad was Greek. He knew the once upon a time stories of all of these historical counts of Philip of Macedon and Alexander and the wars of Persia. He was familiar with Athens and Mars Hill, the golden age of Greece, Plato, Aristotle. No doubt he's familiar with all of those things. But here's what he says. He says, stand in the word of God, which is able to make you wise unto salvation. He was familiar with all those things, but Timothy had something that everybody else maybe didn't have. He had a godly grandmother and mother who doubtless shared with him the scriptures that were able to make him wise unto salvation. No doubt that they told him of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Goliath, Moses, Pharaoh, and on and on and on. No doubt they instilled those things in him. Paul looks at Timothy and says, have continuance in the scriptures. Have confidence in the scriptures. They're able to make thee wise unto salvation. After all, what is Mount Olympus compared to Mount Moriah? Or Mount Sinai compared to Mount Zion? But in the battle for the soul, the fairy tales of Greek mythology did not went out to the truth of God's word. They lost. So when you get where you're going, don't forget God's word. As our musicians come and we prepare to close, I want to say this. Paul said this to him. He said, they're able to make thee wise unto salvation. I want to ask you, have you allowed the word of God to penetrate your heart and to change you to the saving of your soul? If you have, I want to encourage you to do this. I want you to endure. This goes to everybody in the room. When Paul was talking, he said, you've known all the things about my life, the persecutions and the afflictions. In the middle of verse 11, he said, I endured. The persecutions and the afflictions, I endured them. That's why the Apostle Paul could look at young Timothy and say, Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's why he could look at young Timothy in chapter 4 and verse 5. He says, but watch thou in all things. Hey, Timothy, endure afflictions, because they're coming. Paul was not encouraging Timothy to do anything that he hadn't himself already endured. Continue. As our piano begins to play softly, I want to say this to you. There may be somebody here today who's fallen by the wayside. You hadn't got out of the starter's blocks, or maybe you did, you didn't go very far. Could I just encourage you to endure? Maybe your heart's been discouraged. Maybe by somebody here. Maybe by me. Maybe I've discouraged you. Maybe somebody at your job has discouraged you. Maybe somebody in your family has discouraged you. Maybe you just didn't do the things that were necessary to continue. I told you a couple of weeks ago that the easiest thing to start and the hardest thing to stop is the habit of quitting when things get hard. Things are going to get hard. I don't know why we think that they're not. I don't know why we think that they shouldn't. Could I just encourage you to endure? But you're not going to endure in your own strength. Now, you can't pick yourself up, dust yourself off. You can't say, well, I'll muster up a little strength. I'll get a good night's rest and a good breakfast tomorrow and I'll endure. No. No. Enduring for Christ comes through surrender to Christ. Paul said, I die daily. And there comes a point in my life where the only way that I can endure is by giving up. But not giving up on my race, not giving up on my battles, but giving up on standing in my own strength, my own energy, my own zeal. Because it won't last. It won't last. It comes through surrendering to Christ and saying, Lord, I have failed, but I need you to lift me up. And he'll encourage your spirit. You see, the outer man perishes day by day, but he renews my inner man all the time by his spirit. Maybe there's somebody here today who has quit. Would you come back? Would you surrender? Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If God is speaking to your heart, you come while we sing.